Introduce our first speaker, Stacy Jo.
Hi, family. I'm an addict. My name's Stacy Jo. When I got asked to speak on this particular topic, I found it very personal because I remember what it feels like to be the newcomer in the room. And that fear that sinks in, that I don't know who these people are, and I've already felt so alone for so long, and I'm so grateful for the women that was at that home group that just took me in and just loved me in spite of me. You know, they talked me into going to a women's retreat, and I said, I don't want to go. There's too many women. And I said, well, I don't have the money. We got you a scholarship. Well, I don't have a ride. You can ride with us. We've already talked to your husband. Okay, I guess I'm going to this women's retreat. You know, but the bigger impact that had was they were unified together as one common purpose to help the next suffering addict. And I was that next suffering addict. And through that, I've learned, you know, we say it in the meetings all the time, the newcomer is the most important person in the meetings, but how often do we really act on that? Right. You know, when the newcomer comes in and sees everyone gathering up and socializing and hanging out, and they're sitting over there on the side, not even being spoken to, how do they really feel? Are they the most important person? Because when I go to my home group and there's people there that I don't know, I introduce myself because you're new. Because this is my home that I come to on a regular basis, so I know when I see a new face. You know, it's very important that, you know, addicts help addicts. And if you can remember when you first walked into a meeting, how appreciative you were when somebody came up and introduced themselves and said, welcome, I'm so glad you're here. I'm like, oh, haven't heard that in a while. you know, that's that therapeutic bond that we have, is that I can talk to anybody in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and they understand me. You know, so the unity of Narcotics Anonymous is not just as a whole, but it's broken down by the individual. And so it depends on my individual recovery whether or not I'm even able to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, so it's my primary purpose to carry the message, but I have to have some recovery to carry that message. So that means making meetings on a regular basis. That means talking to my sponsor and working on me and doing some step work and learning what the NA message is, because the NA message is the NA way of life. You know, it's based on spiritual principles. And those spiritual principles, I can't gain them without y'all. I don't know what they are. I don't know how to practice them. You know, it's when I talk to my sponsor and she can call me out on some things and says, you're not supposed to act like that. Do I learn something? Because I'm hard-headed. I don't learn from your mistakes. I got to learn from mine. Right? You know, but the differences of our recovery, that diversity is what strengthens our message. Because we all have a different background. We all have different ideas. We have talents. God, do we have talents. I think the addicts in Narcotics Anonymous, we are some amazing, powerful people. Because if we've lived through what we've lived through to sit in this seat today, then we got a lot to offer. We are strong, stronger than we think, because we can push through. You know, we've been at the bottoms. We've seen what that looks like, and we know what it looks like to come up. We know what those struggles are, one step, one day at a time. I mean, that's powerful. You know, when I think of this little addict, what I was, to who I am today, it's like no comparison. There's no way that I could tell you that this is where I was gonna be today, you know? So that diversity, all of our talents, like that's how we pull off conventions and activities and meetings and our area and world and RSCs. And I mean, all those are done by talents. You know, we all have our own little skills. If we're a people person or if we're good at the accounting, then you may be treasurer for 4 or 5 years. you know, because that happens, right? You know, chairing meetings, being of service, you know, being of service is so much more than just having a position. It's just showing up to a meeting. It's filling that seat. Have you ever walked into a meeting and you see like three people? You're like, I don't know if I want to be here. You know, but then you walk into a meeting and then there's maybe five or six or seven or eight. You know, that just strengthens the power that particular meeting, that message that can be carried. You know, so our strengths are unmeasurable of what we can accomplish together. I know that my particular home group, and by the way, if your home group is not the best home group in the whole world, then you need to get a new home group, because I love my home group. Like, it is the absolute number one best. And I grew up in this program with children, a mother with children, right? Little ones grow up big, and I was pregnant when I got clean. And I went into one meeting in my life where I was turned away because I had a kid. Completely turned away. And I didn't like how that felt. And when I got clean, I had three kids and I was pregnant. And I needed somewhere to go. And they had to come with me, because it's not like I'm some upstanding living person that could pay for a babysitter or that my mom wants to speak to babysit. Like, you know, she's done with all that. So that's all I got. I got to bring them with me. And so my home group, in our meeting preamble, we read that kids are welcome. We will walk over them, talk over them, and clean up after them. And that is powerful. You know, so what if the kid is screaming and yelling a little bit? Just talk a little louder so we can hear you, right? We can still carry that message, because we got to think, like, I was a parent coming in that didn't know how to parent. So yeah, I got some jacked up kids. Right? They've had to live with me. They didn't have a choice. And so through me getting clean and y'all accepting me from where I'm at and accepting them helps me to parent them, and it helps them see how people should be treated. You know, now I know not every meeting can be kid friendly, but man, don't shoot that mama a dirty look when her kid's jumping on that chair.
That's right.
Because she's there because she needs it. Do you think if she wanted to bring her child to a meeting, she would? I'd be like, babe, take the kids, going to a meeting. But that's not always the case. You know, so just those little messages that we carry to each other is what strengthens that unity. You know, it's powerful. You know, and it's my responsibility as an NA member to, you know, protect the women in my meeting. You know, those are my women, those are my sisters. You know, and if they're getting bombarded by something or something's going on, like, it's my responsibility, this is my home group, to protect those newcomers coming in, because, you know, newcomers and newcomers or old timers and newcomers, sometimes that's not a good mix, and we know that. So don't let it happen. You know, there's a way to address people spiritually. There is. I've learned that. You know, you can talk to somebody in a loving and caring way. Always. I might need to put myself in time out for a minute before I can speak that way or pray about it or talk to my sponsor, but it's possible to talk to people as they're human. You know, the NA message is just so powerful that, y'all, we're saving lives. We're saving lives on a daily basis. You know, I don't know where I'd be if those women in my first home group weren't there for me. You know, I was so jealous coming in. I didn't like women. I didn't want nothing to do with y'all, because you're going to take my shit. You're going to take my man. Like, I don't trust you. We got hidden agendas. You know, I didn't know how to have a friend that was a woman. I know how to hang out with some dudes. They're easy, right? It's easy to hang out with guys. But you get into women, man, it's all chatty, Kathy, and just, woo. You know, and then if I think you look better than me, it's on. Right? So I had to address in the very beginning some of my insecurities, my jealousies, my self-worth. Like, I didn't have any of that. You know, and the women around me knew that, because I was not nice. You know, I was like a little wallflower with an attitude. And those women just taught me, you know, I would share things with my sponsor and she's like, you can't do that. You don't get to talk to your husband like that. Like, what did he do to deserve that? Well, you don't understand. We were sitting outside and a girl came up and talked to him. Got under my skin. You know, she was eyeing my man. She's like, no, no, baby, we don't get to do that today. You know? Some of those little things that just really shaped me into the woman that I am today. And so it's my responsibility, that was what was freely done to me, to do upon the other. You know? And if you can't sponsor somebody, then tell them you'll be in their support group, because that is so much more. You know, help them find somebody that they need. You know, a newcomer, even if it's just anybody that's seeking this program, then if we can't provide what they need, I know that we know somebody that can.
That's right.
You know, I have a wide variety of people in my life today that have all their various talents and personalities. You'll be like, you know what? You need to meet so-and-so because I think they'd be great for you. You know, help them introduce. And sometimes we say, we give them that phone list and you need to call. You know, and I know old school was like, they need to call if they want help. Well, sometimes if you just made that one call to them, they may make three or four back to you. You know, so I got to let my pride out of the way that, oh, I got this clean time and how I got it is how I got it. But not everybody receives things the same way. It's like a language of love. You know, there's five of them. And so we really need to put in that extra effort. And I just keep going back to how important the newcomer is, because they are the backbone to this fellowship. You know, we are carrying the message. So, I mean, we are the predecessors now. You know, and in our book it says that we referred to our predecessors. And if they weren't there, then, you know, and so on. And if all of a sudden I thought I was cured and didn't need to go to a meeting, because, you know, the unity, like I said, depends on our individual recovery. And all of a sudden I don't need to go to a meeting. I'm okay. I don't need to do this and I don't need to do that. You know, that I'm doing NA a disservice by not showing up and participating in my recovery, because I'm not there to share the message. And so you can't keep what you don't have. And so if I'm not working on it on a daily basis, which I'm not perfect, nobody's perfect. But if I'm not striving to work on it on a daily basis, man, that's a scary spot. I have a very, very healthy fear of relapse. Very healthy fear. I remember exactly what it was like, where I was at, what I was doing. And I have choices today, and I choose not to go back there. You know, I have choices. And so one of the smallest choices that'll save my life is go to a meeting. Just show up. Especially when you don't want to be there. That's what it says, right? When you don't want to go there, it's probably when you need to be there. And it's usually true. Because then somebody shares something that I don't want to hear, that I needed to hear, that damn it, I heard it. You know, I love this fellowship. I love this fellowship. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I love my home group. I love my sponsor. I love the step work sometimes. You know, but I love the results that comes from it. And, you know, just the common welfare and our structure depends on the unity of this fellowship. If we don't have business meetings, and we don't have area meetings, we don't have regional meetings, and we don't have conventions, like, how are we spreading the message? You know, where are we planning the fun things to do? You know, because I didn't come here to be bored. I think us addicts, like, we can get into some shit, right? Right? We like to have fun. I mean, there was a moment when my using began that I was in it to have fun. You know, I still feel like I'm in my 20s. And I know most of us don't act our age. So let's get real. But that's the fun part of it, is that we can go to dances and comedy shows and picnics and campouts and, you know, float the river. And we do all that stuff in fun. And you know what that does? The bigger picture is that is we show those around us that you can do this and stay clean and have fun. You know, we have parties at our house. Like, we're a small little group in Tomball. And so my husband and I love to throw parties. And we invite anyone to come. Like, you're welcome. 4th of July, New Year's, whatever, you know. And when people are like, I don't know, you don't want to come to your house. You're like, just come for a little bit. We'll show you how to stay clean till midnight and ring in the new year. You know, I've been asked more than once, and it's so cute. Are y'all open on Christmas? Right? Are we open on holidays? Absolutely. If it's a scheduled meeting on that Tuesday and it's Christmas, yes, we're open. There's a meeting. You know, so we got to remember what it was like to celebrate those first holidays clean. And man, when you can do that with some other addicts, it just, that strengthens that foundation for me and that other addict, you know, all the way around. Because today, everybody in my phone is a part of Narcotics Anonymous. And the people that are invited to my kids' birthday parties are in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I don't have to worry about somebody putting beer in my cooler. And I can show my kids today that you can still have fun. You know, they can, and you know, there was something, and I just want to stop with this because I wasn't keeping track of how long I've got. You know, my sponsor and my first set of steps, it was really focused on the dysfunction of me and how I didn't know how to be a wife and how I didn't know how to be a parent. I didn't know how to be a woman. You know, all I knew was how to take and take and take and manipulate and deceive. And it just dawned on me one day with all these kids and being pregnant and hormonal and, you know, that anywhere I go, if my kids can't come, then I probably shouldn't be there. And that has just been so true for me from day one. My kids should be as welcome anywhere as I am welcomed. And that's not hanging out at the bar or the dope man's. It's not going to after-hour clubs. It's not running the streets. You know, and that for me is bringing that strength of the NA message and the NA way of life home. Because the ones that are the closest to me get the brunt of it all, right? They're the ones that see the real me. And so y'all help me shape that person so that I can be more loving and caring at home. And that's all I got.
Help me thank Stacy Jo for sharing her experience, strength, and help with us.
Thank you, Stacy
Jo. Our next speaker is Donna W.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm a recovering addict, and my name is Donna. I have a habit of standing up. I got to see people. You know what I mean? I don't know how y'all roll, but back in the day, I had to stay vigilant of all my surroundings. So I got to see who's coming up in here. You know what I mean? I'm from New York, but I've been living in Houston since December. First, I got to say that, thank you. First, I want to thank God for giving me the wisdom to know the difference, blessing me with the gift of life. Then also I want to say that Texas is a whole nother planet from where I come from. I have to share a little bit of my experience when I first got here. I seen a bird as big as my windshield. I seen a fly as big as my big toe. I said, I'm in Jurassic Park. I just never seen this before. You know, we got little tiny flies that you can hit with a fly swatter. I needed a bat for this fly that was by my big toe. But other than that, I'm adjusting pretty well down here in the wonderful land of Houston, Texas. So, Stacy Jo, I just want to tell you that you really kind of just shared my story. It's like now I ain't even got nothing to really talk about, you know, because me and my friend Regina was just talking about, like, when we first came around. See, I've been clean since February 14th, 1992. And when we first came around, it was a lot of unity in our area. You know what I mean? Majority of us women were single parents. So we would watch each other's kids when we was in the meeting. There was no problem. If I needed to share, Regina would take my kids out, maybe take them to a store or something so I could get out what I wanted to get out, vice versa. That's how we just rolled. But then we like kind of noticed like now differently, and I need to really say, like, you know, some of the newcomers that was in our area now is a little bit more entitled than us. We were grateful addicts. We knew where we came from. We knew we had nothing when we came up in here, nothing. You know what I mean? We didn't have certain services that they have that can help them out financially. We had to work and pay for ours. You know what I'm saying? As time went on, it just seemed like people just kind of swayed away from that unity that you was talking about. That love, that's what I was saying. It's not much love, you know what I mean? But then I also got to look at the part that me, as being an experienced member, play in that. You know what I mean? I'm catching feelings because the newcomer can't show love, but my thing is, what love am I showing them? Somebody had to teach me how to be a mother. I just didn't know, because kind of like what you said, when I was using, them kids did whatever the heck they wanted to do. They got upset when I got clean. My son told me he was not impressed with my recovery. He got to clean his room now. Now he got to go to bed at a certain time. You know what I mean? She cooking real food. You know, we used to junk food. You know what I mean? I mean, like, they were not happy with their mother being clean. You know, I mean, they good now. It took a while. It's a process, you know. Like, we go through the process. Our kids go through the process. Because we change our behaviors and our attitudes when we come up in here. So we was talking about that unity, right? And I remember when I first came around in our area, there wasn't a lot of NA meetings. You know, it was mostly AA meetings. And we used to all go to this morning AA meeting that started at 8 o'clock. And one day, a few of us got together. And we said, you know what, why can't we start an NA meeting in the morning, which is my home group, Recovery at Sunrise. And that meeting's been going on for 23 years. Awesome. Different places, like when we first started, it was 6 days a week. Then it went to 3 days a week, and now I think it's 1 day a week. But that meeting is still holding on strong. See, I'm a firm believer, united we stand, divided we fall. We can't afford to be divided. That's what happened when we was out there using. Everybody was out to get each other. Now we come up in Narcotics Anonymous. Now all of us is here to teach each other how to live a loving and productive life. Like I said, there was a lot of things that I just didn't know about. I'll never forget one day I was chairing a meeting at Recovery at Sunrise. And there was this guy, I call him Old Man Rich because he seemed like he was older than everybody. But he had like 60 days clean. And when he came to the meeting, he was always would come and just set up, just to help, you know. So one day it's just me and him in the meeting, nobody else. And I'm getting ready to start the meeting. He says, well, we can't have a meeting. There's no one here. I said, me and you were here. And we took turns reading the readings, right? And then, you know, he started sharing like where he was at in his recovery. I shared with him where I was at in my recovery. All of a sudden, three people came from another county because one of the girls had a burning desire. And they knew that that meeting was open in the morning. And so he talked about that. I think his first 10 years of recovery, how I made him stay in the meeting. I ain't make him. You know, he could have left. But he was like, me in early recovery, we had nowhere to go. That's why he stayed there with me. You know what I mean? But he was just so impressed with the fact that if we didn't stay at that meeting, where would that person have went with that burning desire? That's why I say united we stand, divided we fall. Because she could have just, because you know, we use any kind of excuse not to recover. Too many white people up in here. The black people, they just hard. You know what I mean? I can't understand none of them Spanish people. We'll come up with some stuff not to recover. And the bottom line is we all got the same language we used. all of us got the same language, if you think about it. Our dialect might be a little different. You know, our tone might be a little different, but we all got a common denominator. We are recovering addicts trying to stay clean. You know what I mean? When you talked about the steps, I'm a firm believer that the steps are the solution to ease our pain. That's what they are. And I remember the first time that I did the steps mainly was just based on the substance, you know, because I didn't know anything else, you know. And going back, I also remember I really only came to Narcotics Anonymous to find a better way to get high. And I would share that. And then the experienced members would tell me to be quiet because they didn't want to hear from the drug. But I still had crack on the brain, you know what I mean? So, you know, I just couldn't understand how people could just stay clean. I just couldn't, especially from alcohol. I figured I could at least have a sip or something. And they explained to me that I had never had a sip. So what would make me think I could have a sip now? But I'm like saying, well, I got a minute clean. I could probably have a sip with a minute clean. And they're like, no, we don't think so. So I was like, okay. So I kept, well, they kept telling me to keep coming back. I thought that was cute. I said, in spite of my attitude, which was kind of negative, they kept saying, keep coming back. Ain't nobody never said that. Unless I had some money, because when you know when you run out of money, you got to leave the house. So I was like, okay, these people are keep coming back. So I'll just keep coming. So I just kept coming and kept coming. And I don't know. You know how they talk about that spiritual awakening? It was something in that meeting that made me realize that I really did have a problem and it was a better way to live because there was other people living a really normal life without the use of drugs. And I said, okay. And that's when I started doing step work. And I think I had about 2 years clean. And that's when I really started doing step work. And I did that step work, like I said, based on the drug. And then after I finished the 12th, they said, you know, well, you gotta do the steps over again. And I'm like, okay, well, I feel a little confident about staying clean from the drug, but it was certain behaviors that I didn't want to let go of. And you know how they say when you do the second step with a minimal concerns, the rest of them don't work. So I remember, you know, because back in the day, I don't know about you, but I used to always have a guy on the side. It was just something about, you just got to have that one guy on the side to do some things for you. And I had this phone number. And my kids were gone, right? There's nobody in the house but me. So I said, oh, I'm going to call this guy so he can come over and do some things for me. But I wanted to change that behavior because that was my pattern. Because I knew sooner or later that behavior was going to lead me back to using. I knew that through step work. You know what I mean? I was able to identify that when I did my first 4 step. So I'm pacing back and forth. Should I call? Should I not call? Should I throw the number away? No, I can't throw the number away. But I ain't got a call. I'm just going back and forth, just talking to myself. Ain't nobody in the house but us. So now I says, okay, God, please relieve this feeling from me. I'm going to tell you how good God is. Best orgasm I had by myself. I knew then the steps work. As long as you work them, they work. I said, okay, we on the roll now. But that's all they're talking about. Now, at first, I didn't want to tell nobody that story. Because, you know, we have a thing called Ellis Crisis. It's like a van that comes to get people who have psychiatric problems. They pick them up off the street. So I didn't want nobody to know that story. Because I said, they're coming to get me. But I was able to share that with my sponsor, right? And she was able to help me identify the spiritual awakening that they talk about in our literature. And I said, oh, okay, that's what it was. And I was able to change that behavior. You know what I mean? So I got some clean time in that. I got a lot of clean time in that behavior. You know, and then it was also other things, like you was talking about, like with the women, you know, how you didn't like, I didn't like people. See, I didn't discriminate. I didn't care who you was, what your gender was. I just didn't like people. That just don't come too close. That hugging and touchy-feeling stuff was like a little annoying when I first got clean. You know what I mean? But then after a while, them hugs started feeling so good. You know what I'm saying? I didn't care who it was from. I was like, wow. I couldn't even tell you who stank and who didn't stink. I mean, because it was the hug that made me feel, because y'all know some dingy people be coming up in here. Let's get real. Don't be trying to act like y'all don't know it. That ain't just in New York. Y'all got some down here too. But I'm just saying, but when they give you that hug, you don't sense none of that. You know what I mean? You're not looking at color. You're not looking at gender. You're not looking at none of that. All you're looking at is like that feeling like somebody cares. That's when they talk about like that unity. I'm telling you, I always believe united we stand, divided we fall. You know what I mean? That therapeutic value of one addict helping another without parallel is a beautiful statement. Beautiful. Because I've seen it happen. I mean, I have learned how to like come to a meeting and let's just say I have a conflict with somebody. I can still listen to that person's message. I still don't have to like hang out with them, talk to them. I don't have to do none of that. But I can still listen to their message, especially if their message is going to help me. I honestly believe like if we don't do no service, we are going to fall. Somebody got to keep these doors open. And I'm telling you, in my area, them newcomers now, they keeping them doors open. They might not have a clue on what they doing, but what they do know is that the door got to stay open because there's going to be somebody that needs to come up in here and share for their life. See, Narcotics Anonymous, it didn't just save my life. It gave me a life worth saving. That's something that I can't nobody touch. That's why I love the wonderful world of Narcotics Anonymous. Love it. I made it my business to do service in all different levels, the group, the area, you know, and that's another thing because I'm from the Albany region, but it used to be the Albany area. And I remember one time we all just got together as a committee and we decided that we just wanted to be our own region and we was able to pull that off. And we still a region, if I'm not mistaken, but you still have different areas in the Capital District of New York. And, you know, so you got us in Schenectady, which is called the Mohawk area. Then you got the Albany Rensselaer area. You know what I mean? So we're still united, even though we just all broke off in little small areas, but we still a strong region. And that's one thing that I always have to respect, is that as long as we keep doing the work, we're going to stay strong because we do need each other. You know what I mean? I love the women in our fellowship because, like I said, they taught me how to be a mother. You know what I mean? They was able to help me see what part I play in some of my kids' behaviors. Some. Because I'm a firm believer, once we become a certain age, we know right from wrong. It don't matter how you was raised. We do know right from wrong. Some of us get into that familiar territory of just doing the wrong thing all the time. But we do know right from wrong. You know what I mean? They taught me how to be productive. You know, they helped me get the confidence to even go back to school because I didn't like school. You know what I mean? I mean, I quit in the 10th grade, but then all my friends got pregnant, so I went back in the 11th because I was like, okay, I just can't have a kid right now. I don't know how people do it as teenagers, but I just could not be one of them, you know? And then after I graduated from high school, I just didn't want to do school anymore. That just wasn't me. But then I realized when I turned 30, because I got clean when I was 27, was that if I really wanted more out of life, I was going to have to get the education that I needed. You know what I mean? Because the field that I was in, I wasn't going nowhere else. And that's when I decided to go to school. But it was like so many people, men and women, in early recovery, and my early recovery that was going to school. So I was able to go to them and get help, get guidance, get tutoring. I was able to go to them, and they were the one that helped me get my college degree. You know what I mean? And I'm like, that's just unity. I was like, wow, here we go. I got a degree. I still seen my way to college. When I say see, I see my way to college. I did do that. But I was able to still get that degree. You know what I mean? And then I was able to get other credentials. And it was only through the support of my family in Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? Because my biological family, they was like, okay, either you're going to do it or you're not. You know what I mean? But my recovery family was like, we're going to help you do it. You know what I mean? My sponsor would call and say, Donna, did you study today? Well, no. Okay, well, you got an exam coming up. You need to study. You know what I mean? other people in my support network, if I didn't understand something, they would make sure I understood it before I had to take an exam. You know, then it was at the point I had to have my kids help me. Because they're academically advanced. They ain't got no common sense, but they're academically advanced. All my kids is academically advanced. I'm so proud of their academics. I just hope they get common sense before I pass away. But it was like through practicing the principles and the step work was for me to even have a really strong bond with my kids. Because in my recovery process, and like I said, I've been clean since February 14, 92, so that's 27 years. I had some ups and downs in recovery. You know what I'm saying? Like I said in the beginning, my kids were not impressed with my recovery. I have three of them. They 34, 30, and 27. And my son, who's 34, at the age of 15, he wound up going to prison for felony murder. My son is sentenced to 10 to life. He's still in the penitentiary to this day. Then I had my daughter, the 30-year-old. She decided at 15 she was going to have a baby. So when my youngest one turned 15, when she turned 13, I said, what you going to do? I'm ready now. One in the penitentiary, the other one's a parent. What you going to do? What you going to do? She said, Mama, do something different. Y'all won't believe what she did. Can anybody guess? She went to college, age 15, high honors, and graduated. She got her master's degree at the age of 19. She was the one that lived down here for 2 years. She's the one that came up to New York because I was going through a separation with my husband and came and got me. She said, Mom, you ain't got no babies. I'm your baby. What are you up here for? And I had to think about that because, you know, she could tell by the tone of my voice, really wasn't happy. You know what I'm saying? I was comfortable because I always lived there, you know, but I really wasn't happy. So she said, just come on down here. But she didn't tell me about the Jurassic Park thing. You know, she forgot that, you know what I mean? I was impressed that, you know, your area don't get as cold as ours, like 30 below, like you just don't get that. I think that's what fascinated me about coming here. But I knew once I got here that I had to wind up getting connected with Narcotics Anonymous. Because like I said, it didn't just save my life. It was, you know, gave me a life worth saving. And I started going to meetings in, you know, different areas. I live in Jersey Village, so I was going to meetings in different areas, and that's how I was able to meet Kelly and, you know, some other people. So I really want to thank yous for welcoming me. See, that's what I'm talking about with the love, because, you know, we can't get this anywhere. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when I came down here, everybody just welcomed me, and I do appreciate it. I don't even know what time, because I can babble. Mm-hmm. I ain't got a clue how much time I got.
Minutes.
I got how much?
10.
Oh, I got 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Okay. It was something in here that I wanted to read. Okay, this is it. And it talks about communication. It said, communication goes a long way toward building and enhancing our common welfare. With an attitude of open-mindedness, we seek to understand other perspectives. And the thing was, when I first came around, it was like I wanted all of you just to understand my perspective. Like, there has to be a better way to get high. You need to help me get to that point. And you was telling me, there is no better way to get high. You know what's going to happen if you continue to use. You know your story. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, I was the type of person, I always worked. Never got fired from a job. That's because my drug dealer worked there. So I went to work early and I stayed late. Never got a DWI because after I leave the club, I couldn't find my car. So I'm not able to identify with these people who have been unemployed. I'm like, okay, I really don't belong here because I don't even understand why you can't keep it. How can you be homeless? I made sure I paid my rent because I didn't want nobody kicking me out when I ain't have nothing. I ain't have no phone or no cable, but I did have a spot. That I had. I kept that. That, you know. I didn't make sure, you know, the utilities and all that was included. I kept my spot, you know, but I just didn't have all the other luxuries with that, you know. And what I had learned was that my life was still unmanageable, even though I had all those things. I also remember, like, I would hear people saying, like, how they had lost their children through the system. And I was fortunate because my family is a close-knit family, and we look out for each other. So they didn't believe in kids going into the system. We'll take your kids. You can't do it, I'll take them. And I remembered this guy had came to my house. My son must have been about, I don't know, 6, 7. And this man came to my house, and he said, your son keeps stealing my son's bike. And I says, my son don't even know how to ride a bike. You know my son came right past us on that little boy bike? I mean, it's funny now, but the sad part is, because I was high all the time, I had no clue what my kids was doing, even though I never left them. And even though I didn't have to put them in the system, I still had no clue on the things that they was doing. Now, my oldest daughter, she had this habit. Every time I would get high in the bathroom, I open the door, then she go stand it. I know the girl could walk. I'm accusing my son of taking her out the playpen and placing her there. But one day, my son wasn't home. And something said, peek around the corner, see how this girl get out. Now, I'm telling you, she's a little mini me. That girl unscrewed the playpen, crawled out, put the thing back. She couldn't have been no more 9 months old. I said, I'm done. This little girl been walking all this time, and I never seen her take her first step. Never. And they living with me. That's how powerful the disease is. It is that powerful. I said, oh, no, I can't go back to that. I'm a grandmother. I got 6 grandkids. And I can tell you when they took their first walk, the first word that they said, you know what I mean, what their favorite color is. I can tell you all of that with my grandkids. Couldn't tell you that about my kids. Had no real connection at all with them. Because like I said, the substance was that powerful. It was more important to me. But I can tell you what kind of coke I had, what it tastes like, what it smelled like, what it felt like. I could tell you all that, but couldn't tell you anything about my children growing up. And like I said, they lived with me. Another thing I want to talk about when it comes to the people in Narcotics Anonymous, and like I said, when I first came around, I just came to find a better way to get high. That's it. I wasn't looking for anything else. But I remember when I celebrated my first year, I thought it was special. You know what I mean? I still had that reservation to use, but I thought it was special. And I always get emotional about this because when I came into this program, I had 4 children. And now I have 3. Because 2 weeks after I celebrated my first year, my 2-year-old son died. He was born with fetal alcohol effect. I could not put the drink down. Knowing that I was pregnant, I couldn't do it. I could not let it go. And that is something that I have to live with for the rest of my life, that my addiction played a part in his passing. Me making amends to him was to make sure that I took care of his brother and his sisters, because I don't know what else I can do. I can't bring him back. So I always feel around this time, and I'm gonna be honest with you, on September 26th, he would have been 29 years old. Now, I don't even know what kind of capacity he would have been living in because he was born slow. So I really couldn't even tell you if I would have even been able to take care of him. I know he's not in any pain anymore, but I feel for that. Now, this is what helped me respect the people in Narcotics Anonymous, because when I went home to bury him, all them people that I used with, them people that I allowed stay in my house because they had nowhere to go, was not there to support me. People from Narcotics Anonymous came in cars to support me. I'm talking about, they had like 2, you know them 2-seater cars? There's about 20 of them up in here. I don't know how they did it. people was hopping trains, you know, because, you know, we don't let go of them behavior. So they hopping trains to get down, and they ain't even got a way to get back. Okay. That's what made me start respecting this fellowship. It took something like that. And like I said, so I've been clean consecutively for the last 27 years. And I am truly, truly, we are truly, truly blessed to be clean here today. Truly blessed. So if you don't have a sponsor, get a sponsor. I mean, you know, everybody's not going to be our cup of tea. I had about four sponsors. You know what I mean? The first one, she mainly just taught me how to hang out clean. And that was good because I never knew how to do that. You know what I mean? My second sponsor, she was dating my husband behind my back. So, I mean, it was, I mean, we wasn't married at the time, but she knew I was dating him. You know what I mean? Like, okay. And so, you know, that didn't work. You know, my third sponsor, she sponsored me for about 15 years. And she wound up getting addicted to pain medicine. And then she started drinking after three of her sons got shot. One is dead, one is a paraplegic, the other one, he's okay. You know, he left the lifestyle alone, thank God for that. And then, you know, and I have the sponsor that I have now. And we do talk a lot, you know what I mean? But I'm not feeling a connection because I'm so used to being with my sponsor, you know what I mean? I got a sponsee here, she won't give me up. She says she don't care if I live in Texas. I'm still gonna be her sponsor. She come down here, she got her step work and everything. She ready. I gotta take time off of work, do her step work. But my thing is, I feel that it's worth it because I know the power of the steps. And she knows the power of the steps. I don't know how much time I got, but I'm timed out. But again, I want to thank the Hackner area for even giving me the, you know, the opportunity. I said a lot of people really didn't, you know, don't know me down here. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, they showed me so much love. I want to thank you for listening to me babble, you know. And Stacey Joe, I really want to thank you for your experience, your strength, and your hope. I'm telling you, shared my story, and I would really appreciate after this meeting that we exchange numbers. Because I'm a recovering addict named Donna, and I'm truly blessed. Thank you.